Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Step onto the sexy streets of animal attraction that is New York City. Welcome to Pets in the City, Life in the Urban Jungle. Join host Diane West as she explores the exciting lives, loves, and laments of the people and pets in the world's greatest city. Pets in the City, like the city itself, has something for everyone. Celebrity pet sightings, pet events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So get ready to get dressed to the canines and take a bite out of the Big Apple with your Pets in the City host, Diane West.
Hello, cyber cats, kittens, creatures under all creation. This is Diane West once again coming at you from the best city in the world, New York City, with Pets in the City on Pet Life Radio. How are you? Hey, listen, I know there's been a lot of talk about bird brains and such like that. I mean, it being political season at all, but I really do have some birds that do deserve that title. So hold on a second and we'll be right back and talk to you some more about it.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back. Okay, I know I promised you some bird brains. Do not worry, this is not going to be a political talk over here. Who I do have is the very intelligent Hope Schultz, who is president of WebVet.com, WebVet.com, and she has a new exciting site where you can look up the various ailments of the 2 4-footed and feathered and finned creatures that may be living in your home. But today when we spoke with her, we were talking about Birds on Broadway, which is an event they had in mid-September. And if you were walking along 47th and Broadway that day, you may have seen people walking around with beautiful birds on their shoulders, saying anything about how they're a bad bird to dancing. And we're going to talk a little bit more to Hope about what that was all about and how you might get your bird onto their Birds on Broadway contest. Well, we all know that flappers used to be on Broadway in the 1920s, and I can tell you that flappers are alive and well in the year 2008 on Broadway as well. And that's pretty much due to the efforts of Hope Schultz, who is president of WebVet.com, and who recently launched a contest called Birds on Broadway. And we have her here with us today to talk a little bit more about that. Now, Hope, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about what happened on September 16th. What were a cockatoo and razzles and all kinds of birds doing right there on the street in New York?
Well, we were actually announcing a competition that we launched called Birds on Broadway, and we were just getting some exposure to the public in Times Square, telling people a little bit about what was involved with the contest and introducing them to some quite spectacular birds in the process. Mm-hmm. And Birds on Broadway is a competition that was originally created to generate awareness around the fact that, you know, avian specialists will tell you that birds that are more active, more vocal, sing, talk, dance, tend to be healthier, happier, stronger, and therefore live a longer life. So in order to communicate that, we wanted to have a little fun with it as well. So why not create a competition where people could upload videos onto webvet.com of what they consider to be their most talented birds.
When you say the avian specialists have actually indicated, you know, that singing and dancing and I guess generally active birds are happier and healthier birds?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, webvet.com is an online resource for information about the health and well-being of your pets. And as part of that, we want to educate people about how to, you know, help their pets be happier, you know, a little bit more settled and healthier over the span of their lifetime. So when we talk to avian specialists, you know, one of the questions we asked is, what is a sign of a strong, healthy bird? And, you know, they came back and said, well, there's a couple of things you can look for. You know, a bird that is more vocal, meaning they sing a lot, they talk a lot, a bird that is more active, whether it's be, you know, playing with toys actively, flapping their wings, you know, even dancing in this particular case, tend to be healthier and therefore stronger and hopefully live a longer life. I mean, we know that these birds live a really long life anyway, but mm-hmm. in order to encourage that, getting them active is really important.
I've heard from bird people here in New York, particularly we have a pretty large and active Manhattan Bird Club and Long Island Parrot Society and whatever, that one of the things that really is heartbreaking to them is that a lot of people will buy a bird thinking that it's a low maintenance or maybe no maintenance pet because, you know, it sits in a cage and therefore it sits there all day. But, I mean, it sounds like you really brought attention to the fact that birds are first highly intelligent. I even heard that some of them have maybe the capacity of a 3 or 4 year old child and really need to be stimulated and have stuff to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you're dead on with that point, that birds are beautiful creatures and people become enamored with them when they see them, whether it's in a pet store or, you know, somewhere else where they might interact with them. And they go, oh, what a great pet for me to have. It's a beautiful bird. It's in a cage. I can put it in the corner of, you know, my sunroom and life will be good. And the reality is that many of these birds, and it's different depending upon the breed, many of these birds need several hours of interaction with human beings and other birds, for that matter, a day.
So, every day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every single day. And it's a huge chore. I mean, I can tell you personally, I have two birds, and it is quite a time commitment. And, you know, they're amazing creatures. They are highly intelligent. They can be, some of them, mine included, can be highly manipulative as a result. But
some of us have husbands like that.
Yeah, well, I have birds and dogs, so my creatures manipulate me quite effectively, though. But they're, you know, they're amazing animals, and, you know, it's like with any pet. You have to really understand what is involved in the proper care and interaction with any animal. But birds are no exception. They really need human interaction.
Now, you tell me one of the birds in your house is a Quaker, and probably one of our first shows was about the Quaker parrots that actually live in the Brooklyn College area, and having observed those, I mean, those guys are funny. I mean, they're hysterical. They seem like they are always doing something.
Yeah, I call him Dr. Dredd sometimes, just because he is always up to no good. And there's actually a band of Quakers that live here in Chicago as well, and they've adjusted to the crazy temperatures, cold temperatures here. And they are, you know, I mean, my bird is quite entertaining. He is very strong-willed. You know, they get bored very easily. You know, when he gets especially bored, he will squawk and basically say, you know, it's time to pay some attention to me, Mom. And then he'll ring his bell incessantly and say every word he knows, one after the other.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
You had described him, and forgive me, pit bull lovers, you had described him right before the show as a pit bull of birds.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people refer to them as, because, you know, they can be stubborn, but they can also be incredibly sweet and loving.
They're not wearing lipstick, are they?
Not my bird. Yeah, not today.
That's good. All right, so now, I guess just back to the folks that actually, you know, singing and dancing that showed up to audition for the Birds on Broadway contest. So they had Ophelia, the cockatiel. They had Razzles. He looked like some kind of parrot, I think. I wasn't sure what kind.
Yeah, Razzles was a parrot. Okay. Ophelia is actually a very beautiful cockatoo. We had several other. We actually had two cockatoos, two parrots, a couple of Amazons, and a couple of other species that I can't recall off the top of my head. But we had quite the little, you know, menagerie of pets, and it was amazing as we were announcing the competition. We were at 47th and Broadway, very appropriate for an announcement of birds on Broadway. And, you know, the passersby, you know, really loved interacting with the birds. The birds are very sweet and very entertaining. Everything from singing and dancing to Razzle's favorite thing is to tell everybody he's a bad bird. So, and then he calls himself a jailbird, of course. It was very, very entertaining. And, you know, we're really encouraging people who are bird owners to videotape their pets and their top talent and upload them on webvet.com. You know, it's been a ton of fun, and everybody loves to watch, you know, entertaining animals, and birds can be quite entertaining. And the winner is going to be announced the latter part of October. Our panel of judges will narrow the field down to three, and then we'll invite the public to come to webvet.com and vote on the bird that they think has the top talent.
Who's judging them?
There's a couple of avian specialists, and we will be announcing soon somebody from the music industry that's going to be also one of our judges. So yeah, we have to get the experts when it comes to talent.
And the music industry too.
Yes, absolutely. So we will we'll be narrowing the field down to three finalists, and then we'll encourage the public to come onto webvet.com and vote for the bird they think that they has the top talent. And the winner will receive $2,500, and they will also have the opportunity to be on the bird voice of WebVet in some media appearances. So it should be a ton of fun, at the same time educating people about the importance of proper care for your pet.
Now, because, yeah, I mean, that's one thing I want to clarify, that when I first read that it was birds on Broadway, I was thinking that maybe one of the prizes would be that, you know, they'd be in a Broadway show or something, but that's not the case. But they will.
Well, one never knows what roads this might lead to.
But, yeah, you know, they will have media, like they'll be, like you said, the avian spokesperson for WebVet and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. We love integrating our pets into what we're doing with WebVet. You know, it's what it's all about. So if we can find fun ways to integrate them into the process, that's all the better.
Now, so again, just to repeat, if I wasn't able to make it down there on, I believe it was September 16th, right, that you actually had the birds auditioning? Live.
Yeah.
You could still upload your video of your bird dancing, singing, riding a bicycle, whatever.
Absolutely. You can, for the next 3 weeks, bird owners can come to webvet.com. They need to register on the site, and it will give them an option of clicking over to a page that tells them a little bit about the contest and then gives them the opportunity to upload their video. Then, you know, just the general public can come back to the site on a regular basis to see what new videos have been uploaded.
Up until when they can do that?
Up until October the 14th, I believe, is when all submissions have to be into place.
So it has to be in there October 14th. So I just wanted to make sure to you bird folks that you make sure you get them up there. Wow, all this talking is making me want to go wet my beak. So I'll be right back. Hang on and stay tuned.
This is the Pelham Bay Parkbound, 6 local
trains. All right, this is my stop, Commercial Boulevard. Yeah, that's funny. Pets in the City will be back in a New York minute. Don't go anywhere.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, all you yuppie puppies and city kitties, Pets in the City is back with more urban animals and cool cosmopolitan critters. Try saying that 3 times fast. Right, Diane?
Okay, I have sufficiently wetted my beak. Let's go back to Hope, and I'm really enjoying this conversation. So what kind of, I guess, things are you guys really looking for in the bird? I mean, I know you said singing, dancing, what have you, but has there anything, any videos that have come in thus far or any birds that you've met personally really wowed you?
Yeah, I mean, most of the videos that we've received to date are of birds talking, dancing, singing. I mean, that's the obvious talent. I have over the years seen some pretty amazing birds. One of my favorites, somebody asked me this the other day, was a bird that could actually, he was a bit of a gymnast. He could stand there and he would all of a sudden do a complete backflip and land back on his feet.
Ow.
So yeah, there's a number of different talents. You'd be amazed. These birds are very, very intelligent. So, you know, the capacity to learn how to do different types of things is tremendous. So, and it doesn't just have to be singing and dancing. I mean, it's whatever you think your bird's talent is. You know, they're free to upload that video and participate in the contest.
Okay, so just to be clear, so you're going to have judges narrow down the field to three, and then people that are online can vote for what they feel are their favorite birds as well.
Yes, very, very much so. The judges will narrow the field, and then the users and the general public can come back, and they will be the group that picks the ultimate winner.
Okay. And I guess just to kind of give people a little bit of a snapshot of bird people in general, I mean, most of the time you see a lot of the focus on dogs and cats, which obviously are, you know, the most common pets in the United States anyway. But could you tell our listeners just a little bit of how big a bird segment we have in the United States? I mean, I know the last time I was looking at the statistics for like sales of pet products in general, it was something like $42 billion a year, which to me was astonishing. But a good chunk of that pie is for birds.
Yeah, obviously. And I mean, we're seeing a lot of growth sectors. I mean, as you mentioned, dogs and cats are the largest sector. And that number is actually projected to rise to just north of $50 billion by the end of this year. So, I mean, it is a huge, huge category. It's more than doubled in size in the last 10 years. It's the second fastest growing category, only behind consumer electronics and the retail side of things. So, as you know, so obviously dogs and cats are the largest sectors. Birds, you know, have become increasingly popular over the years. Fish are growing as well. I don't have the specific numbers in front of me, but you're starting to see people you know, who are really taking birds into their families and treating them more like family members more so than ever before.
Mm-hmm. Now, why is that, Hope? What do you think contributes to that, that people start looking to maybe adding a bird to their family?
You know, I think there are a couple of reasons. One is, as you see the aging boomer population, I think birds are easier to care for some people as they get older. So I think you're seeing more amongst senior citizens. I think that as people are starting to understand more about birds and just how intelligent they are and how loving and caring that they can be, that they're expanding their interests beyond what we might consider the traditional pets. I also think there's probably something to do with being in an urban environment, and having a bird is oftentimes an easier pet to care for when you live in a very urban environment versus a more suburban or rural area.
Very apropos to our show, Pets in the City. I hear that from a lot of people that unfortunately, because we do have limited space and unfortunately, you know, time, sometimes the birds are kind of a good choice for an apartment. As long as they're not screaming.
Yes, that's true. You don't want somebody that's going to disrupt your building. So. Yeah, and that's the type of information that people can find on webvet.com. Is, you know, if you're thinking about getting a bird, here are the things that you really should know, and then tips on how to find the right bird for you, because there's a huge difference between having a Quaker parrot or a cockatoo or an Amazon than having a parakeet or a lovely little finch that sings all day long.
Right.
So it's
exactly.
Really important to make sure that you're very well informed, as with any animal, to make sure that it fits your lifestyle and that you actually have the time and the wherewithal to take care of that pet.
No, and I think that you make an excellent, excellent point, because much is said about, you know, finding the right dog for you, which, of course, is a very responsible thing. But you know, you raise a really great point that you should find the right bird for you as well. I mean, because, you know, I would imagine a lot of people go into the pet stores and they say, oh, my God, what a gorgeous Sun Conure or, you know, whatever. And they're all beautiful. But then they get it home and they're like,
yeah, let me tell you, yeah, as a bird owner, I can tell you cleaning out the bird cage is not a pleasant experience. And it has to happen on a very regular basis, you know. And, you know, birds love to, like, you know, I change Pie's water like five times a day, because all he does is he takes everything he can find, food, paper, anything, and he dumps it in his water bowl. So, you know, there is a lot that goes into, you know, taking care of a large bird. Again, some of the smaller breeds are a little bit easier to care for, but, you know, at the end of the day, they're a pet, and you need to be aware of what's involved with that. What's interesting, I think, is that there's a trend now where you're starting to see more birds and exotic pets brought to shelters because they're being abandoned or people do not want to take on the responsibility that they have, you know, they didn't realize they were getting into, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, so, and you're right. I mean, I know the 110th AC and C shelter here, I mean, at least last summer, I have to check in on them again soon, but somebody told me I couldn't believe how many parrots were there as soon as they walked in. Parrots!
Oh, yeah, yeah, and you see it with rabbits. I mean, we've done some rabbits, work with Animal Care and Control in New York. And the last time I talked to those guys, they had taken in like 20 rabbits in like the last week. So, you know, everybody again thinks, oh, it's a cute, cuddly little rabbit. Well, little rabbits are lots of work. You know, kids really want rabbits because they're soft and they're cuddly and they're sweet. And then what happens, again, is that they get them and they don't understand the responsibility of caring for them properly. And then it, you know, obviously falls on mom and dad's lap and it's just one more burden that they can't handle.
Right, exactly. So tell us how webvet.com can help us both before we make a choice of bringing an exotic or any pet into our lives, and or if we already have one in our lives, if you could kind of tell us a little bit about how your site can help.
Absolutely. I mean, we created webvet.com because we had gone out and talked to pet owners at great length about what was really missing from their pet world. And the one thing that they said was a site that could be trusted, the information on the site could be trusted, that provided, you know, information and fact-based education on the health and well-being of their pet. So we built it out of a need, not only a need that we had personally, but that pet owners around the country were telling us was missing. So basically what we try to do is educate people and inform them on, you know, if you are going to get a new pet. We have a new pet center, and a lot of the content in that section talks about, you know, how to be a responsible pet owner, questions that you should ask when you're looking to get a new pet. You know, if you live, for example, if you live in an urban environment, you're probably not going to want to get a Dalmatian or a Golden Retriever, you know, if you live in a small apartment in Manhattan, because a Dalmatian will be pinging off of your walls, and the Golden Retriever and the Dalmatian, for that matter, will not be as easily exercised. I mean, it's going to take a lot more responsibility on the part of the pet owner to get that animal outside and walking.
In defense of my Dalmatian Golden Retriever listeners, there are people who do it. 5:30 every morning, they're out there.
Hey, my business partner has a Dalmatian, and he has had Dalmatians for years, and he lives in New York. And he does. He gets up at like 4:30 every morning and walks that dog. And ironically, the most popular dog in Manhattan is the Labrador Retriever.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a big dog that needs lots of exercise. So, you know, I deduct from that there's lots of people in New York that love their animals and do the right thing by them. So
they do. And their birds as well.
And all of their animals, and we love them all. And, you know, so one of our primary missions is to help prevent illness. So we have lots of information on preventative care. I think it's really important to note that WebVet is a neutral platform. We don't diagnose. We don't offer treatment. We don't editorialize. What we do is we educate based on fact, and we always direct the pet owner back to their veterinarian for the proper care for their individual pet.
Right.
And all of our content on the site is, pardon the pun, but vetted by vets. So anything that you see on webvet.com has been veterinarian approved. We make a commitment to our users, and you'll see it with what we call the Veterinary Advisory Council Seal of Approval. It's kind of our version of the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. You'll see that on every piece of content on our site that basically says, this has been approved by this veterinarian on this date. And our commitment to our users is that every piece of content will be reviewed at a minimum of one time a year, because it is so important that the information that we're passing along to pet owners is accurate and timely, because we love our animals and we just want to make sure that they're happy and healthy. Therefore, just like we would with our children, we want to make sure that the information that is being communicated is the proper information.
No, exactly. And as you said, while it's a great place to start and kind of just get a little bit of guidance as to what may or may not be happening, the vets always tell you to go to your own vet as well.
Yeah, so always go back to the vet. And then The other thing that we try to do is if your pet has been diagnosed with a certain illness or affliction, then, you know, it's best to stay on top of the news relative to that. You know, I had an old English sheepdog that had hip dysplasia. He ultimately had a hip replacement. And I had nowhere to go to learn about actually what was involved and the things that I could do as a, you know, a pet mom to take to make my dog more comfortable, just some of the basic fundamentals, like making sure that he had a warm place, you know, he maybe slept on a heating pad underneath his bed, or, you know, just things that are going to make him more comfortable based on something he's already been diagnosed with.
Right,
so,
right.
So, while, you know, we love to be able to help on the preventative side because no one wants to see the animals get ill, you know, mm-hmm. if they do suffer from some type of ailment, we want to help keep that pet owner informed about, you know, what's going on relative to their individual pet's care.
And information is always changing and getting updated every day. So
yeah.
We're talking with Hope Schultz of WebVet.com, and that is spelled WebVet.com. And once again, they have a Active Birds on Broadway contest going on right now, and you can upload your own if you missed actually being on 47th Street and Broadway earlier in September to audition in the feather, as it were. You can still upload your videos of your feathered friend to webvet.com through October 14th, and the winner will be announced October 29th, right, Hope?
28th to 29th, yes, the latter part of October.
And you guys will also be able to log on and vote for your favorite bird as well. But the competition's going to be fierce.
It always is, about as fierce as my bird.
So I want to see a New York bird win. So listen, you guys, get off of your tail feathers and upload those videos.
The more the merrier. We're going to have lots of fun with this.
So Hope, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been fun. And let us know what's happening as the contest goes on.
We will indeed. And thanks so much for having me.
And that'll do it for, once again, another week of Pets in the City on Pet Life Radio. And I mean it. I want to see those videos up there of New York Boyds. We got to get a Boyd up there from New York who's a winner. And I know a lot of you guys, yes, I'm talking to you, Manhattan Bird Club. Yes, I'm talking to you, Long Island Parrot Society. I want to see those birds up there. Okay? Other than that, in between doing that, I just wanted to tell you some events that are coming up. This Thursday, September 25th, at Pressure, which is a very swanky downtown club, the Animal Care and Control is having a wonderful gala that's going to have a whole bunch of star-studded celebrities and really great prizes. I was just looking at their prizes. One of the prizes is actually a batting practice with Derek Jeter. Let me tell you something. If I was not personally involved with this gala, I would be so there. But being that I can't do it, you should come and register for that. But it's, again, Thursday, September 25th. At Pressure, the Animal Care and Control Gala. If you want to find out more information and ticket information, you go to www.nycacc.org. Also this weekend, there's going to be the inauguration of the new small dog meetup on the Upper East Side. And I know that might sound a little commonplace, but I can assure you this took a lot of work and a lot of political, shall we say, negotiations to get done. So you definitely want to show up there. Look on my website at my magazine, which is www.newyorktails.com, T-A-I-L-S, for where and when that event is going to be. It's going to be this weekend. And again, stay tuned. October is going to be Halloween up the wazoo, okay? This is the only time your pet is going to allow you to dress them up and humiliate them in public, okay? So I'm not kidding you. There's going to be like at least two or three parties every week in October. So stay tuned for my next show, and I promise you I will keep you up to date as they come on, okay? The first one, which is not a Halloween contest, but it is a rock and roll bang, is Gimme Shelter Rock and Rescue. And you could get more information about that at www.rational-animal.com. petliferadio.org. And everybody's going to be there. Deborah Harry's going to be there. The Beastie Boys are going to be there. You have got to go. And that's about it. Let me shut up. But like I said, definitely stay tuned for the next show, because not only will we have a great guest, but I will tell you all about the Halloween parties that are coming up. And I will also tell you about the animal blessings which come up on the first week of October, including the really big one at St. John the Divine Cathedral up on 110th Street. Till then, this is Diane West from Pets in the City on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank my very patient and long-suffering producer for having me on the show, and of course, all of our sponsors who make it possible. I will see you next time.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.